During the Gulf War, TV, radio, and newspapers were filled with analysis from military and Middle East experts affiliated with think tanks. Think tanks started becoming household names. Two of the top network TV guest experts, Judith Kipper and William Quant, were both from the Brookings Institution. Brookings' Joshua Epstein was just about a daily guest on NPR. But you probably also heard researchers with think tanks like the American Enterprise Institute, the Foreign Policy Research Institute, and the Center for Defense Information. But what are think tanks? James Smith is the author of a new book about them called The Idea Brokers. He used to work for a think tank himself, the 20th Century Fund.
I happened to be down at Brookings, I guess the first day of the Iraqi invasion, and they set up a mechanism for fielding calls from all over the country. It was astounding to me that it was not just the major networks calling, but small papers in the middle of the country, small radio stations, and people like Tom McNauer, I think, did probably a dozen interviews between 9 and noon the first day of the war, and it kept up for weeks and weeks after the invasion.
Let me ask you the question that I figure a lot of people are wondering, having heard so many of the people from the Brookings Institution. What is it? It's a think tank, but more specifically, what is Brookings?
Well, Brookings is, in fact, the oldest of the Washington-based policy research institutions. It was founded back in 1916 as a little research bureau called the Institute for Government Research, that was designed to help government agencies become more efficient. It helped them with their personnel manuals, with their accounting practices. It was like a consulting firm 75 years ago. But it's evolved into a think tank with approximately $100 million for an endowment, an annual budget of about $18 million a year, and it has close to 50 people doing full-time research on public policy problems.
Do they have any ideological bias?
Well, it's curious. Brookings, over the past 20 years or so, has generally been referred to as the liberal Brookings or the democratic government in exile. In fact, historically, it has evolved from an ardent opponent of the New Deal and of the Fair Deal of Harry Truman into an organization that did indeed have some connections with the Kennedy and Johnson administrations, into a place that I think now is probably regarded as the most middle-of-the-road mainstream of the Washington organizations.
You mentioned the Center for Strategic and International Studies as being another one of the think tanks that was very highly represented during the war. Where are they positioned, and what are they?
Well, they're a place founded in the early 1960s by people who were indeed fairly conservative, and over its 25 or so years, it has tended to be somewhat more conservative than say, the foreign policy analysts at Brookings. But nonetheless, it is now certainly closer to the center than it was in the early 60s.
Let's get a little background. What are think tanks? Where does the name come from?
Well, it's a funny word, isn't it? The first use of think tank, in fact, I found in the Oxford English Dictionary. It was a British slang term for the brain, but it seems to have evolved as a word that would refer to the places where military strategists would retreat or retire to think and plan their strategy. It was a secure room. In fact, it may even in the First World War have literally been a tank where an infantry officer might have been able to get out of the line of fire and consult a map. But the word began to be used in the late 1940s to refer to those military contract research organizations, such as the RAND Corporation. And gradually through the 50s and 60s, instead of being applied simply to military research organizations, it was used to refer to Brookings and the other places that came into prominence really in the 1960s.
How are the think tanks funded?
Well, there are several sources of funds. If we look back historically, the older think tanks were the beneficiaries of grants from large foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Corporation, the Ford Foundation beginning in the 1950s. The large foundations saw the advantage of having bodies of experts independent of the foundations, working perhaps closer to government, That's one source of funding. In the post-war period, post-World War II, government began to fund the research in a number of these places. And a third source of funds has been corporate funding. Increasingly, particularly since the early 1970s, corporations, through their own corporate foundations or through corporate giving programs, have been willing to fund these places.
What do you think are the think tank's greatest benefits to society?
Well, they are a uniquely American invention, if one looks at the whole sweep of the 20th century, although there are think tanks now all over the world. I understand Edward Shevardnadze is even setting up a think tank. But they have evolved in our society for some reasons that are very peculiar to our own political system. Our parties, for example, are notoriously inept at developing ideas. Our parties are really electoral coalitions to get people into office. And the think tanks have, I think, helped us shape ideas, refine policy agendas, and do things that our political parties have not been able to do. We're also, in this country, a people who are suspicious of government. And we've been relatively slow to bring experts into our governmental bureaucracy. But what they've done, and this is one important long-term effect of think tanks, they've demonstrated that our political leaders and our bureaucrats can benefit from having experts in their employ. And we've seen, I think, as a direct result of think tanks, the creation of such organizations as the Council of Economic Advisers, which was set up in 1946. We saw the creation of the National Security Council roughly at the same time. The whole array of governmental research agencies were brought about in part because think tanks demonstrated the value of expertise.
Are there anything you're more skeptical about when it comes to think tanks?
I'm quite skeptical, and I think that's one of the lessons of the book. One should be circumspect about the role that experts play in shaping our public debate. I think we should be circumspect about the uses of research in our policy debate. And I think there are many think tanks that are largely inconsequential. They're able to produce op-ed pieces and wonderful press releases, but not doing much in the way of serious research. So there are things that we should be skeptical of in looking at them.
James Smith is the author of The Idea Brokers, Think Tanks and the Rise of the New Policy Elite. This is Fresh Air.